Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dan's Dabble in Babble. It certainly has been quite the hiatus, and I thank you for your patience. And I am thrilled to be back. You know, this podcast is certainly going to be different than what was originally intended. I want to give a big thank you to my former producer, Dennis, my brother, who is no longer affiliated with the show. To his credit, he did a marvelous job in getting some wonderful guests booked for the original attempt at Dan's Dabble in Babble, and I thank our guests so much for taking the chance on our show. And I really think we had some really wonderful conversations. And I'm very grateful to their time. I'm grateful to what the show was intended to be. However, I've really missed the opportunity to share my thoughts in this format. And I'm really trying something now that I have not done as a podcaster. So those of you who have followed me for a little bit, you will know that I have had several podcasts with varying degrees of success, and it's always been something that has been somewhat of a hobby of mine and something that I've really greatly enjoyed. But I really have not done a solo podcast whatsoever, and I think there was a lot of fear of just kind of blazing into a studio open mic by myself. So, you know, I initially started my podcast career with a podcast by the name of Deepest Fantasy, the concept I was very fond of. But that, similar to Dan's Dabble and Babble, would have a guest, albeit with much less notoriety than the guests on Dan's Dabble and Babble each week. And that evolved into the podcast Dan Jam, which was co-hosted by my cousin Jamie. She was originally brought on as a permanent co-host to Deepest Fantasy, and while it was a wonderful experience co-hosting a podcast with my cousin, the logistics of our schedules are really kind of untenable to be able to reliably put out content. So that was kind of why Dan Jam eventually faltered. Jamie's doing very well. I'm also doing well. So certainly there's nothing more to the story than that. In addition to those podcasts, I have had some podcasts with my brothers and a family friend. This started out as Bargain Bin Anime, which was one of the surprisingly more successful podcasts. And I am grateful for that experience because it really helped me to kind of identify niche audiences. And it was a lot of fun to kind of get that success, had a couple of episodes go somewhat viral. But the horrible part about that podcast was the anime that we were watching was just terrible. So the concept of that podcast was to watch anime that was freely available to us through the likes of Tubi or other services like that. And that certainly was fun for a while, but the time to watch the anime and then discuss it each week, again, just became untenable, which I guess is the word of the week this week. So, you know, here we are again. Recently was a host of Talking Marvel Plus, which is still going strong, with Dennis and Ryan Dyer, my co-hosts. I am on hiatus from that podcast. My schedule has simply been too busy to commit to that recording schedule. But here I am, back dabbling in my babble, and I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to you know, figure out if I can cultivate an audience on my own, and I'm looking forward to how this podcast will develop and progress. And I really kind of view this as a way to kind of just sort of sort through the thoughts and some of the things that are happening in my life, the good, the bad, all of that. And I really want to acknowledge I have some great influences when it comes to podcasts. And, you know, a podcast that I listened to recently really talked about the value of just, you know, a podcast being able to keep you company. And, you know, as I go through my daily life, whether that's my commute to work or as I'm, you know, doing house chores or taking a walk around the neighborhood, it's really amazing the difference in my motivation levels when I've got a good podcast to keep me company in my ear. And it's a very kind of intimate feeling to the relationship that a listener develops with a podcast host. So that is really the kind of the overarching goal here is, you know, at this point, it's really hard for me to anticipate what topics I will, get into, how deep I will get into them. But those of you who know me and, certainly who have listened to my work before know that I am, not shy on the microphone. And I think, the thing that I am excited about this venture is the opportunity to really kind of be fully in control and be able to just sit down and when the inspiration strikes, be able to record an episode. I anticipate that this will be a weekly release. But any of you that have worked on any type of a project like this will understand that the coordination of schedules between producers and co-hosts and guests gets to be quite the gargantuan task. So this is now where we're at, right? We are in a new era of Dan's Dabble and Babble. I do hope to be able to have guests on as well from time to time, but I'm not going to limit myself in that capacity either. So really the other big thing to note at this juncture that I've kind of alluded to is I'm now doing this without a producer. Dennis was grateful, or I should say I was grateful to Dennis when this podcast started, and that he was the producer and editor of this podcast, and was essential in really getting every guest, aside from Justin Spring, to do the podcast. And he did a remarkable job there, and the editing and the posting and all of that were in his hands. But now this is a completely solo venture, and this is not my first time in this arena. Deepest Fantasy in the Dan Jam days, I was the producer and editor. So I'm excited to regain kind of full creative control in that way as well. So I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited for you to be listening. Thank you for indulging just that little bit of shop talk, I guess. And without further ado, here is me dabbling in what I love to do. And that is, of course, Babble. All right, so now that business is out of the way, let's get down to what I've been up to and what I want to talk about this episode. It's been many, many months since my latest episode. I've been up to a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Been keeping incredibly busy. As you guys know, I teach chemistry at a private high school in Florida. Still doing that, still loving that. Coaching cross country. I, long story short, became the head cheer coach. I just got finished coordinating homecoming. You know, just lots of those things that you take on in addition to being a teacher, which has all been, a really interesting experience, each one of those to say the least. But, you know, still having a good time, still, absolutely loving my life in Florida. Last weekend, though, I had a completely new experience. So many of you will know that I spent many years in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, while I was in graduate school. And, you know, I left Milwaukee, or I guess I should say when I left Milwaukee, I had, you know, kind of various feelings about the city. Because the thing is when you are a grad student somewhere, you don't really have the opportunity to fully take advantage of the city regardless of where you are. And I think there are certain cities where it would be, you know, abysmal and really tough to be a graduate student. As far as Milwaukee goes, I was able to live very comfortably as a grad student. You know, with my stipend, I was able to afford a place, never having a roommate. I was able to go out and enjoy the city some, you know, when I had time. But you live in a place like that, and money is always a factor. And, you know, there's all of the stresses of graduate school. And then on top of the stresses of graduate school, you know, I essentially went directly from undergrad to grad school. And that can be a really isolating time because you, of course, are in grad school with a lot of other people, some of which are close to you in age, some of which have more life experience. You know, it's a very diverse cohort to be going through the graduate education experience with. And that has a lot of advantages and a lot of disadvantages, but the people that you've grown up with and the people that you are friends with in college that don't go into graduate school, you're seeing really start their lives. And you kind of feel as a graduate student that you're in this weird purgatory where, you know, I didn't really think of myself as a student because in my program, in my chemistry program, we did take classes for 2 years. We would take at most 2 classes a semester for the first 2 years, but really it was all about research. And then we were supported through mostly teaching assistantships as well. So, you know, it wasn't like I was a student going to class and that type of thing. I was a graduate student, but I was going into a lab doing research and, you know, didn't really, it's a very different experience than being a student. And it's being a graduate student is very different than when you're an undergrad because, you know, that's kind of an accepted cultural norm of what it's like to be an undergraduate. You know, I think everybody's undergrad experience varies somewhat, but, you know, in general, your main priority should be your classes. Even, you know, and you don't appreciate this until you're on the other side, even when you don't think you have a lot of time, you have so much time as an undergrad just to kind of, you know, do whatever you want. And in graduate school, that was certainly not the case. Any time that you're not spending doing work is just more time that you're going to be in the program. So, you know, that's why grad students are driven to work weekends, work crazy hours when, you know, our pay is the same regardless and our pay is abysmal regardless. But, you know, if we take even a weekend off, that's like, okay, that Saturday that I didn't work is another day that my program extends, kind of a thing. That was at least the mindset that I had, and it was very toxic and all of that. So that was the experience I had in Milwaukee was, you know, I had some very close friends in Milwaukee as well, but they were kind of starting their professional careers, so they were making significantly more money than I was and just had very different concerns. And that was something I don't think I really fully appreciated. And in some ways, I'm kind of glad that it happened this way, that until I moved to Florida and was completely under or out from under the oppressive thumb of grad school, you know, I was finally, as a Floridian in a career in a position where, you know, I have a normal work-life balance. I feel like I have really a fantastic work-life balance there. Of course, busy seasons, but I mean, I'm also a teacher, so then the summer comes. And, you know, I don't have to worry about time off at holidays and those sorts of things. And even in my busy seasons, which I just got through the absolute busiest season that I could have, you know, my work-life balance was still good. So the bulk of the time I've got excellent work-life balance and, you know, can afford a very comfortable living. where I am, and I'm very thankful to have reached that point. But I didn't leave Milwaukee with a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings because it was really, winters are incredibly harsh. The summers are beautiful, but the summers are very short. And I was really in a very toxic program and unhappy, just with a lot of things in my life at that time. But it's all part of the experience that got me to where I am today. And so ultimately, do I have a lot of regrets about the situation? No, I wouldn't really classify it as regret because I don't think I would have identified how passionate I am about education if I hadn't gone to grad school. But I say all this to say that my best friend just got married and got married in Milwaukee, and they invited me to be the officiant. And initially, when they invited me, I really had a lot of trepidation about it, because I was born and raised Catholic, and so my first stipulation was that I was not going to be ordained through some church online or something, because I felt like that was disrespectful, and I couldn't rationalize that. So ultimately, they ended up having a legal marriage at the courthouse, and I served as the officiant of their, kind of ceremonial wedding, but they were already legally married. So it didn't really matter how bad I messed up. The wedding was gonna stick. It was already done. But when I moved from Milwaukee, I really didn't have any anticipation that I would be going back for any reason, because the friends I had friends and have friends in Milwaukee, but the friends that I was very close with in Milwaukee have since moved on themselves, so I didn't really anticipate a return visit to Milwaukee. And then, of course, my best friend, who lived in Milwaukee briefly, fell in love with a woman from Milwaukee, and that's where they ended up getting married. And I had this wonderful opportunity to go back. And I'll talk about officiating the wedding in a second, but it was a great experience for me too, because I initially was not excited to go back, and then I invited my boyfriend, who was luckily able to go with me, and I think that made a big difference on the weekend too, quite frankly, because of course, I had my best friend there. So many of my best friends from college were at this wedding. But it was a different lens to be able to kind of go back and share that aspect of my life with my boyfriend. And when I say that aspect of my life, I guess what I'm really talking about is, we literally stayed in a hotel in the neighborhood that I used to live. I showed him Marquette's campus. He got to see my favorite neighborhoods, and just like kind of being that guide, kind of, I think, reframed the trip for me. So I was really happy that to have that experience, if I'm making sense there. I think, it's one of those situations that just it places, I think, are different when you are able to share them with someone that you really care about, and especially share them with someone that you care about and their places that they really have no familiarity with. It just it puts the entire city in a whole new light, and that was, something that my friend who got married made the same comment of, Milwaukee is a really different place when you're there with someone that you care about in that way. And it was really true. And so that was a really unique aspect of this as well. However, if any of you have tried to get to Milwaukee, God help us all. There is An airport in Milwaukee. It's not very big. I lived there for 4 years and could always, get flights to where I needed to go when I would fly in Milwaukee. A lot of people in Milwaukee will go down to Chicago and fly in and out of O'Hare. Flights are typically a little bit cheaper out of O'Hare, and you can definitely get direct flights more places more easily. So Milwaukee, there's a lot of connectors. And long story short, because of the way my work schedule and my boyfriend's work schedule worked out, is I wasn't able to take that Friday off. The times that were available for a flight to Milwaukee, connector or no connector, were going to put me in Milwaukee on that Friday, before the wedding. The earliest we could reasonably get in would be like 11:30. So ultimately, we decided to get a flight into Chicago that was going to land at about 6:30 p.m. And we were going to rent a car and drive up to Milwaukee. It's about an hour drive from O'Hare to Milwaukee. Really not that big of a deal. The Chicago traffic is terrible on, like, if you take O'Hare and go south, but if you land in O'Hare and go north, the traffic really typically is not that bad. So I wasn't worried about that aspect of it, because that was the other horrendous thing about living in Milwaukee, was having to get around Chicago to go home. I grew up 5 hours from Milwaukee, and the only way to get there was by driving around Chicago, and the traffic violates your human rights. I mean, I rarely had an instance where I could drive around Chicago and not just, be filled with rage at, everything that happened with traffic on 294. It is really, I don't know what the solution is, other than to just, pave the entire thing, make a parking lot, find some sort of ferry system, to be able to ferry your car from Milwaukee to, I don't know, even Gary, Indiana. Just there needs to be a Chicago bypass just for the sake of humanity. So civil engineers and urban planners and all that, I hope you're working on solutions. But luckily, that is not something that I really ever have to deal with, that commute anymore. Well, now, so we board the plane. We board the plane on time, and my boyfriend and I have a habit, it seems, of we love to get to our gate at the airport, like literally when they're calling our row to board, which is really not my nature. I hate being super early to flights. I hate waiting around in the airport. But it just seems, for whatever reason, that my boyfriend and I really like to push the limit. We went to the US Open in September, and my goodness, the subway ride we had to the airport was incredibly stressful, to say the least. Long story short, we sat down to eat dinner at the time that I thought was the absolute latest that we should get on the subway. But anyway, we ended up making our flight. We have never missed a flight, so I will take that track record and go with it. But we board the flight, and then, as soon as everybody's boarded, they get on and let us know that there are going to be delays taking off because of a staffing shortage, which is the excuse that I am becoming enraged with, that has come out of the COVID pandemic, is all of this talk of staffing shortages and using that as an excuse for virtually everything. I mean, we are really in, more or less, for practical purposes, a post-COVID world. And I recognize that we are still dealing with COVID. We're still dealing with COVID infections and all of that. That's not what I'm saying, but I think every industry is open. I mean, the first cruise ship out of Tampa just left last Friday, I believe. So, the businesses have attempted to figure out how to operate with restrictions under COVID. So at this point, the staffing shortages, whatever they may be, I mean, companies have got to get better at figuring out how to retain enough employees, how to avoid these staffing shortages, or how to make it work, because there are so many things that aren't working. The Domino's pizza by me, I know I'm really just, you know, plagued with lots of problems, but the Domino's pizza by me, the past two times ordering a pizza, it's been a 2.5 hour delivery time, and it's like, not like when the estimate is 35 to 45 minutes, and they're blaming staffing shortages for that as well, which, you know, Domino's has this delivery insurance thing, so they end up throwing me more free pizzas, which, you know, don't hate that. But it is just kind of alarming. Like, at some point you gotta become carry out only if you can't deliver the service anymore. I mean, that is something's got to give somewhere. I mean, we're in a completely unsustainable loop, it seems, with all of that. But anyway, back to the story at hand. We get on the plane, and because the air traffic control is short-staffed out of Jacksonville, which was the airspace that we were going to be flying through, they were looking for an alternate route. And long story short, we were basically on the plane for about an hour, and then we found an alternate route, were approved for an alternate route, which did get us into the air more quickly than if we would have taken our original route, but it also added an hour of flight time to the flight. So effectively, we were delayed 2 hours. And, you know, as the officiant of this wedding, I would have liked to have been able to make at least part of the rehearsal, but that was not in the cards. So anyway, we get to Chicago, we get to the rental car place, which, as you can predict, is always just, you know, it's never goes smoothly. This went smoothly enough, I suppose. And I will say that, the Hyundai Kona that I was given did at least have a Florida license plate, because can you imagine how embarrassing it would have been to be mistaken for a Midwesterner driving around Chicago and Milwaukee? So I was happy to retain my status as a Floridian, which I hold very near and dear to my heart. Very, very proud of my Floridian status. So anyway, we get to the Ambassador Hotel in Milwaukee, which I had warned my boyfriend that despite it being a 4-star hotel, I was very skeptical just based on the area. Again, it's the neighborhood that I used to live in. It's a fine area. It's a fine area next to a very rough area, but it's mainly student housing. I mean, it's a lot of grad students, a lot of undergrads, and affordable apartments. You know, the landscape of the area, it was supposed to be a historic hotel, and the lobby was absolutely gorgeous. The clientele was a mixed bag. It was also Marquette's family weekend, and this neighborhood is right by Marquette, so there were lots of Marquette families there as well. Just a really interesting agglomeration of Midwestern Milwaukee visitors. Also, interestingly, it was the first round of MLB playoffs, and hotels were sold out like months in advance. It was really kind of absurd how difficult it was to find a hotel in Milwaukee, but we did. And the Ambassador Hotel was ultimately fine. Although I had you know, tried to be cute and ordered a bottle of wine to be in the room when we arrived, and I get into the room and I'm furious to find that there is no bottle of wine. Call the front desk, and I had to, you know, walk back down and get, and it's like, this is a very different vibe of you like making me walk back down as opposed to just, you know, being able to walk into the room to a bottle of wine. But the bottle of wine was ultimately acquired, and you know, we had a great evening that first evening. We went and met up with the bridal party, and had a great first night in Milwaukee, And Saturday, I got to show my boyfriend around Milwaukee, around Marquette's campus and the like. But you know, so the officiating the wedding aspect of this was a really interesting experience. You know, I was kind of told by the bride at some point that she would have for me a binder with, you know, everything that I would need for the day in it. And when I met up with them on Friday, they gave me the binder, and my script was not there. The readings that other people were doing, I think the best man speech, were printed off and in the binder. But I had, you know, submitted the script that I had written, and they had given me some comments and, you know, corrected that. But that was not printed off, which you know, I was really not stressed about the prospect of doing this. And then I, you know, you just kind of have that feeling where it's like, oh, okay, this is not what I thought I was walking into necessarily. But luckily, they were able to get a script printed for me the next day, and it was great. My friends got married at the South Shore Beer Garden, which was one of my favorite, absolute favorite places in Milwaukee, and one of my favorite neighborhoods in Milwaukee. It's literally right on Lake Michigan, and the room that they were in, there are these just like gorgeous windows that overlook the bay, and they're are just all these sailboats out on the bay. And it was, you know, 70 degrees, beautiful sunny day, which for October in Milwaukee, you don't know what you're gonna get. But it was really remarkable, just the location. And you know, I really did not rehearse anything that I was doing for the wedding at all. You know, I missed the entire rehearsal. And I had, of course, written the script, but did not run through it at all. And you know, I'm very comfortable with a microphone. I'm very comfortable standing in front of people. So I really was never worried about this, to be totally honest. You know, I am, you know, kind of doing my duties, go through sound checks and stuff like that. And then about 30 minutes before the wedding, my boyfriend asked if I'm nervous, and I was like, no, not at all. And I was just like, I could kind of feel his anxiety, which was kind of cute to see. But I said, you know, are you nervous? And he goes, a little bit. Which, you know, I took his being sweet, but I was like, listen, like, this is there is if I can do anything, it's take a microphone, stand in front of people, and, you know, talk a good talk, whatever I'm being asked to talk about. And I have to say that it was so much fun. One, because it, just to be a present and active participant in a wedding like that, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn. I've gotten wonderful feedback from everybody, with comments that said everything seemed very intentional, and like I was very, very present in the moment, which was what the goal was. You know, of course, it wasn't about me, but you know, I felt like I was delivering everything confidently, and really was just, you know, up there with my friends on this very special moment. And now I'm kind of like, it's gonna be hard for me to just go to weddings and just attend them now, because it's so much more fun to, you know, be orchestrating the show. And the other great thing about this was, you know, they had asked me to talk a little bit about my relationship with them, the couple getting married, kind of after the readings and before the vows and the exchange of rings and all that. And I really decided to just go. You know, I had thought a little bit about some things that I might say, but I really decided to just kind of let whatever came to me in the moment happen. And so, you know, I put the binder down when it got to that, and you know, kind of said my piece, kept it brief, because, you know, we've all been to weddings where, you know, the best man speech or the maid of honor speech or whatever is a little too or very self-indulgent. And again, this was not about me, but it was nice to, you know, kind of have that heartfelt moment. You know, so many people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you memorized what you were going to say. And then my best friend, the groom, pulled me aside and was like, did you actually memorize that? And I was like, no, I didn't think about what I was gonna say until the moment. And he just burst out laughing. He was like, I absolutely knew it. And I was like, yeah, like this is why you chose me to do this, right? Like you know that I can get up and not be nervous and talk about you know, whatever it is that needs talked about. But anyway, it was also interesting that weekend because on that Sunday, you know, it was the first time in a long time that I was with these group of friends all together. You know, I've seen my best friend probably most often, my friend Oscar, my friend Aaron. I've seen, you know, kind of here and there, but you know, it's rare that we are all able to be in the same place. You know, my best friend Trey lives in Indianapolis. Oscar lives in my hometown, and Aaron lives in Missouri. So, and I of course live in Florida. So, you know, just logistically, we're in four kind of different places. So getting together is difficult. I mean, it takes a real reason to get together. It was the first time since I moved to Florida that I felt a little homesick. Just I think from the nostalgia of being with that group. And that was really, really surprising to me, and it really hit me. My boyfriend and I did this architecture tour of Milwaukee, which was an architecture tour by boat. So you go down the Milwaukee River and out onto Lake Michigan, and the leaves had like just begun to turn. So the colors were absolutely beautiful. And on Sunday, it really felt like a chilly, crisp fall day. It was really, you know, exactly what I wanted. It was perfect. And then we were in my favorite neighborhood to grab some cheese curds before we had to go to the airport. And it was just again, you know, kind of the emotions from the entire weekend. And again, just sharing some of my you know, kind of favorite things in this place that I lived with one of my favorite people. Perhaps my favorite person. It was just it was a lot to kind of take in the moment, and it really had an impact. And you know, it was kind of one of those things that then as soon as I landed in Tampa, I was like, I'm so glad I'm back in Florida. But that was you know, kind of it, with everything that I had felt leading up to the wedding, like I really was not excited about going to Milwaukee. So that was just really kind of alarming and unexpected. And of course, in keeping with our tradition of having, you know, just terrible luck, or not even terrible luck, just playing it close, I guess. We get to the airport, and we walk in, or we don't walk in. We're barely able to walk in because the line for security is wrapped all the way around, and basically to the door. So we're like, we're gonna miss our flight. Like that's all there was. And then I think there must have been a staffing change or something, and the line started to move more quickly, and we were there about 5 minutes before boarding began. So it was really kind of one of the earliest we've gotten to a flight. And we made it, and we came home, and then I launched directly into homecoming week. So it's been just a whirlwind. It's been an absolute whirlwind, but you know, it was really genuinely just so cool to be able to do that for my friend, and so cool to be able to recount this for you on a podcast. So, you know, let me know what you think. Please subscribe to us, rate, well, I guess it's not an us anymore. Subscribe to my podcast, rate my podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, and please, 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 share it with your friends. You know, just, any way we can get the word out. it just makes it much more fun. And reach out with the types of content you'd like to hear too. You know, this really should be more of a conversation. So thank you for listening, and it's so great to be back, and so great to dabble in this battle.